So while we're waiting for everybody to come in here, does anybody have any praises they want to share?
I have a praise.
What's that?
All right.
So we were praying, and there was a situation with my dad and us going to visit him and my sister. There was like some conflict. Anyway, there was like, it was a major issue, and it was looking like I wasn't even going to get to go see my dad for 4th of July. But God made a way, and my sister had other plans, so she can't go with us, and I can go see my dad. And I wasn't stressing out about it because I went to his word to kind of respond to my dad and his wife. Glenda gave me some really good advice. She said, just be patient and wait on the Lord. He'll make a way if you're supposed to go. So, and he did.
Awesome. He always does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That is awesome. Anybody else have praise? Praises. Got to have praises.
I'm still breathing God's good air, even though this whole body is hurting. I know that there must be a purpose for me in God's plan, or I wouldn't be here.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Hallelujah.
You're living out a purpose.
You know, I've got a praise. Pastor allowed me to sit in for him this week. So, tell you what, it's been an interesting week. Seems like the devil's been popping up his head every moment trying to keep me from being here this morning, but here I am.
Amen.
So I've got a message. We'll see what happens with that, but I'm excited about it anyhow.
Okay, my praise is, thank God I'm alive and well.
Amen. Anybody else? We're going to talk about a different giant today. We're going to talk about Goliath. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Does anybody want to do some reading this morning? Mary? Start at verse 1. Let's read for a bit.
Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shechem, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shechem and Azekah in Ephes-Damonim, whatever that is. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear head is weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine? And ye servants of Saul, chose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If ye be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall he be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid.
We'll stop there for a second.
Okay.
Does anybody else like to read? Continue on there. All right, sir.
Still, what verse what?
Start 12, and let's just go down to verse 22.
Okay, sounds good. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest. And the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near him morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistine. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle.
So I'll read from here. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran unto the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that that man who killeth him, that king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine, and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mayest see battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him and toward another, and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Anybody want to read verses 32 on?
And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God.
Amen.
David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with his coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him.
He could carry
and he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on, and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, God, the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy hand from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.
Amen.
And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with his sword, not with sword and spear, For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came, and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face onto the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they all fled.
Let's hold off there. So there's a lot to focus on, isn't there? So why do you suppose David picked five smooth round stones?
Because
Goliath's four brothers.
Brothers.
Yes, he did. That's right. He thought that they might all come, but David was ready for him, right?
He only needed one each.
So let's talk about Goliath for a minute in the relationship with Goliath. Goliath, for the nation of Israel, was kind of like an insurmountable mountain almost. You know, they were on another mountain, and every time he came down the valley, they couldn't pass that mountain. But we have those things in our lives today, don't we?
Yeah.
Goliath is real today as he was then. And, you know, sometimes we have fear, right? But what did David do? David was pretty amazing. So let's talk about Goliath, though, before we get to David. What do you think? Do you think that's a good reference to Goliath, you know, mountain in our path? You know, something we have to overcome, we have to surpass. You have those in your lives today? Something that just seems insurmountable? Just something you just can't pass? We all do, don't we? And we have to trust in the living God to do that, right? And that's what David did. David just knew for a fact that God was there, and this Philistine was there defying the living God and the army of the living God. It says that Goliath was 6 cubits high.
Yeah. Man.
How tall is that?
Over 9 feet, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty tall, isn't it?
Well, it depends. It depends on the cubit. If it's common people's cubit, it's like 23 inches. If it's a royal cubit, it's elbow to mm-hmm. hand plus a hand breadth.
So, irrespective, he was a big man, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he was. So he was also, you know, he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. You know, he's just a big fella, and he just looked very impressive out there. I remember when, as I was a kid, I saw a fellow. His name was Henry Hite. He was a big circus show almost, you know, which is really sad to think about it from now. But he came to the grocery store, and he was just a big spectacle for everybody to see. And he was close to 9 foot tall. He was a big fellow. He had his feet were like that big. He was just a monster. But he could barely walk. You know, people really, you know, that are that large have other problems, right? Goliath probably did too. Still, the army of Israel was not going there, right? They were afraid of him. You just imagine someone with that size, you know, talking at the height of his voice, you know, to the armies of Israel in defiance. How scary that would be, huh? So he had them so scared that they wouldn't even react to it. You know, they just cowered. So have you guys, anybody seen somebody that big?
No, I'm just saying, I'm not interested, I didn't mean to, but I'm
watching. No, it's fine.
In verse 37, he's already delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and the paw of the bear. Now he's going to take care of him. Goliath, it's like it's almost kind of went up in steps. The Lord has been there for him. He's got the confidence that he knows the Lord is with him. That's what I found has sort of happened in my life. There's been a lot of little things that, not little to me and the Lord, but I've seen where he's taking care of this, he's taking care of this. And I'm learning to have patience. Don't laugh, but I am. Okay. And to know that he's going to take care of us. And just being saved from a lion and a bear, I think everybody just walk up and would almost laugh at Goliath. That's one thing you have to learn is the Lord is there with you. Once you achieve that confidence and the assurance of him being with you, little things, the things in life just take care of themselves. You know, like Marissa had the deal this week, and she didn't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be taken care of. That's the thing you have to do is, to me anyways, once he's taken care of you and seen you, trusting him to do it again and again and again, kind of cruise through life.
No, that's right. In a way. No, I appreciate that. That's good stuff.
And I think it's important that to realize that there's nothing too big for God. I mean,
look at Goliath, he was 12-foot tall.
Yeah.
So,
there's nothing too big. I mean, he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know? So, I don't know, when problems come, you know, and it seems like there's no way out, like, just to realize there's nothing too big that God can't handle.
No, that's exactly right. But still, we get to those impasses, and we hold off sometimes, don't we? Because we don't have the faith sometimes. Why do you think David chose to fight Goliath? Do you think it was for the reward? I mean, he asked about that.
I don't think so.
What do you think he was fighting for?
Because Goliath cursed his God.
Yeah.
And you don't do that.
God called him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He was called.
He's kind of trying to justify it before his brothers, though, by, you know, the reward, I think. You know, that the, you know, the house of, what do you say, make his father's house free in Israel, you know? Yeah, so there were some benefits, right? Even though I think he was doing it for the right reasons. He was doing it because Goliath was defying the armies of the Lord. But I think he was trying to sell it to his brothers because his brothers were so negative toward him. You're just a little fella. Go home. Take care of the sheep. David's preparation. Why do you think that's so important? David was prepared for this, right? What do you think? Was David prepared?
Oh, yeah. He was prepared because he brought those lion and bear.
Yeah.
And he always daily sing to the Lord. He write, you know, songs, and he was just in the Lord. And with the sheep, there with the sheep, you have all the time in the world to think about the Lord and to meditate on him, you know. And that's we all need to do that. Spend time with him, you know, practice that and trust him and know that he's big. And, you know, I was reading something one day, and in there it says, I'm a big God, Mary. I put my name, Mary. Trust me, I'll do anything what you ask because I'm big and I ask big. I'm like, yeah, Lord, all right. You know, it make you feel good.
Yeah, that's great.
I build up the confidence in him.
That's right.
I think he was ready as he ran towards the army.
He was not fearful at all. I don't see
any
fear there at all.
How big your problems are. Tell your problems how big your God is.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And that's pretty much what David did. Yes.
Yeah.
No, that but Saul gave him the armor of man, but he took it off because...
Well, he couldn't carry it.
Yeah, that's right.
More powerful.
He was a little runny high schooler, you know?
but you think it's good to be prepared before we go to battle? I mean, because we go to battle every day, right?
Oh, yeah.
We do. So how do we prepare ourselves for that battle?
Stand in fellowship with God.
As we get in, get in his word, seek his wisdom.
Yep, put on the armor of God.
Early in the morning.
Yeah.
Trust him to take care of your problems.
That's right. You know, but he still wants us to act, you know. We can't just, you know, expect him to take care of it all, right? He's still going to want us to act. Yeah, so David had a purpose. He definitely wanted to beat Saul, and he wanted to do it for the right reasons. He wanted to do it for God because he knew that was not, you know, a good image for Israel to be cowering in the trenches. He just knew that, right?
Yeah.
They should have the faith of God to stand up and fight. Of course, they were being led by another man, Saul, right? And Saul was better looking than David, taller than David, and stronger than David, probably.
He definitely was tall. Man. He was heads above everyone else. Most people don't know it, but the average height of the Hebrews was about 5'8". You know, 5'7", 5'8". Mm. They weren't naturally a tall people.
So Saul was man's selection for a leader, right? God had a vision already, you know, for a selection as well. And Samuel anointed David later on, not long after this, right? Maybe before this, I can't remember. So David was the second king, but God's selection, right? And David was able to see God's purpose and God's reasoning. You know, I think David made a petition to do God's will. I mean, he had to get approval from Saul, the leader at that time, to go out on the battlefield. Saul wasn't going to let him do it because he was just a child, a boy. But he convinced him. So sometimes, you know, it's very difficult, but sometimes we have to get out there and petition as well to do the things that we know we need to do, right? You ever had a petition to do something that you know you need to have to do? Maybe you had to ask your husband or your wife, or, you know, something you had to do, but you still needed to talk about it, you know? Sometimes you might have to ask your pastor, you know. There's all sorts of...
There's a lot in our government.
Yeah, you got to go out town for a job or something.
And what'd you say? I'm sorry?
I said there's a lot in our government going on that we need to be petitioning and standing up against.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That's Christian, too.
Yeah, that just amazes me. So you don't think it was David wanting to marry Saul's daughter? He had a bigger vision, didn't he?
Yeah.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, he wasn't really into Michael, and it turns out Michael wasn't into him. David had wandering eyes, so...
It's amazing that the whole army of the Philistines left when Goliath was slain.
See, that's how Satan put the fear in them.
That was their champion.
Yep, just like Goliath put the fear in the nation of Israel, the lack of Goliath put the fear in the Philistines, didn't it?
Yeah.
Just like they had all their army in one basket, and when that basket was squished, that was it. That was gone.
Yep. Yep.
I think also if David would have gone to battle with all the armor and the swords and all these things that Saul had given him, then maybe it wouldn't have been as like scary for them to see. I mean, it had to have been of God, you know, for him to take him down with one stone. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
They weren't scared of David, they were scared of God.
Yeah, because he had basically announced to him, like, you come at me with armor and your sword and your spear, and I come at you with God of Israel.
And I think that's why God chooses the least of, sometimes our biggest weaknesses, to use for his glory, because, you know, then it can't be of ourselves. It has to be God, because we couldn't have done it without him, you know, and that's what scared them, I think.
So what do you think the armies of Israel thought after David slew Goliath? What do you think? Were they embarrassed maybe a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, you think?
Especially the brothers.
Yeah.
Bad. I mean, their happiness sense, but they felt bad because of how they treated him, you know.
Yep, yep. I think David was anointed before this, wasn't he?
Yeah, Samuel anoints David. Yeah. Well, chapter 16, verse 13.
Yeah, I thought so. It was just before that. Even David's brothers knew that he was the chosen of God. Yet they're still turning away from him. And here, you know, they were still saying that you can't do this.
It caused you jealousy also.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's just like in Joseph, you know, all the brothers got jealous of him. And jealousy is a hell of a thing.
Yeah. You imagine the firstborn. Why didn't this fall on me? You know, I'm the firstborn, you know. But that wasn't God's decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think jealousy had a big, big point in it. But also, they've known David all of his life. They knew the shenanigans he pulled and, you know, his attitude about things. They knew that he was different than they were, right? And they probably always kind of rejected him and pushed him away. In fact, he was relegated to be the keeper of the sheep, right? Which was not a relegation at all. But as far as the brothers were concerned, I don't have to do that. David,
very,
take care of it.
Very interesting also, in that same area, the keepers of the sheep, the watchers of the sheep that watched by night, were in the same hills and fields in Bethlehem when Jesus was born.
Yep. I think this is just... It's amazing that the things that David learned as you were talking about, you know, spending time with God, what else are you going to have to do when you're watching the sheep, right? But getting the sheep to follow you, you know, that's not an easy task, right? Keeping them together. I think that also it shows his compassion for the animals. You know, he'd probably carry the lambs that, you know, lost their mom and, you know, help, you know, milk them. So he had all these attributes, but yet he was a great warrior. You know, he was not afraid of anything, but he had the compassion that is shown of man. That's always a good positive characteristic that God looks for. David only used proven weapons. You know, God prepares us for things that we're facing day in, day out. But we're always pushed a little bit farther, as we heard a little while ago. But he wants to try our weapons. He wants us to try our weapons so we have confidence in them. Yeah. And David has done that, right? He had already tried his weapons, and he knew what he could do with them. I think just in relationship to that, God wants us to get in his word and learn the things so we can be instant and seasoned, you know the things that we should say before people.
I think also, like, noticing that he's giving glory to God even before he fights him. You know, yeah. So even before we win our battles, you know, we should be giving glory to God because we know he's going to deliver us through it. You know, and it's hard to do sometimes, you know, when the battle isn't won yet. But that's what David did.
Yes, he did.
Let me just read something that I have in my Bible here about David, about the victory.
Sure.
He said, "Don't look to your circumstances. Look to the bigness of your God. Failure to do just this is what nearly sent the army of Israel down in defeat. After one look at Goliath, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Satan nearly had a victory based on fear and intimidation alone, but God had a plan of deliverance. He had prepared David, a young boy of no reputation, the least of his family and despised by his brothers, a mere shepherd, for great things. God used a lowly task of a shepherd to train David in overcoming far greater enemies than lions and bears. Throughout this is secret training by God. David gained experience that would be the foundation of his faith and trust in his Almighty Lord. Beloved, no matter how humble or seemingly insignificant your position is now, you are being groomed by God for great victories in Him. The relationship you are building now will be the foundation of your fellowship with Him throughout eternity."
It really is. Man. We have an awesome God, don't we?
Very awesome.
Yes, it's pretty humbling to just realize that the God that we're going to spend eternity with is the same God we have a relationship with now.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Everything that we're doing now, we're just building closer. And unique. You know, free to us.
Yep. So, were you fighting with Goliath this week?
I still got two more surgeries for it. Yeah. So, I didn't get it looked at. It's been like this for the last 6 months. It was a lot worse than I thought. So, it was a labral tear, slap tear, and a rotator cuff tear.
Oh, my goodness.
So, they got the first six anchors in. I got three cables in there right now, six anchors. And I got to go back on July 5th for surgery and August 21st. Ooh. And I got another surgery after that for implants. So, I lost my job, lost everything. So, I had to afford my surgeries. So, I sold all my bikes, sold all five of those, my car. I got nothing. So my job laid me off because I can't work. So I guess the good thing is about losing it all is that I'm here again. I'm no longer working 6 days of the week, sometimes 7 days of the week. So that's the only good thing. I'm on so many drugs right now, I can't even concentrate.
Yeah, well, we definitely bring you up in prayer. So you're facing your Goliath for sure, right? It seems unsurmountable right now, right?
It's not too big.
It's not too big.
Big for God.
Yes, sir. So David took to his brother's, food. So it's kind of interesting to me that the armies back then didn't feed their troops, right? Looks like their families had to feed them, give them what they needed to survive. It's a totally different thing than we conceive, right? I can't even conceive that, but that's what they did.
Are they feasted as they were in battle if they could come across some sheep or something like that? I mean, they would set up their camps and whatever animals they catch, feed themselves. Or sometimes families would have to, out of concern, they'll send a family member to kind of go behind the lines and bring them something.
So why do you think that the nation of Israel set their army out there in the first place? If they're not going to do anything with Goliath, why were they there? Why did they just go home?
Well, Saul said, I want my land. They're taking it.
Maybe Saul was thinking somebody in there will be willing to fight him,
So they wanted to fight maybe together, but not singly, right? And when they were challenged
But eventually, maybe somebody was to, hey, man, I'll go fight him. But they were all afraid.
Yeah.
I guess they were just hoping,
So I'm wondering if they had some engagement with Goliath previous to that. Or did Goliath ever fight them at all? Or do you think that he just walked out there as a challenge and they never fought him at all? Maybe he might have been a mighty man of,
Oh, he slew many of Saul's army.
Well, we don't really know that, though. It doesn't really say that. So, but I'm just curious, I'm just wondering, if he was just a showpiece, just... Or he actually had some battle, capability. So as a Marine, how would you think if you saw, somebody that big out there in front of you? It'd be scary, wouldn't it?
No. He's your target. Oh, what an easier target. Yeah.
Yep. But it didn't not necessarily want to go hand-to-hand with him, though, would you? That'd be scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he wasn't just a showpiece because it says in verse 33, it says, "And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." So I think he was a battle-hardened kind of warrior.
Mm-hmm. Right, good point. Good one.
Yeah. The bigger they are.
And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight the Philistine." That is powerful, isn't it? Don't you worry about it. I'll go fight him. Don't let your heart fail you.
And they are saying, "You're so stupid in their mind. You're so stupid."
Yeah, Saul putting his armor on David, and David couldn't even carry that armor.
I think Saul was probably trying to show him that he couldn't do it,
Yeah. And he's like, "I can't do this." Took over my sword, dragging on the ground.
Why didn't Saul go out there?
He was afraid.
He's got people that do that for him.
Yep. But as you mentioned, he was taller than everybody else out there, right? He was the biggest one of all of them, probably.
But he was fearful. He was fearful.
He definitely didn't have the Lord behind him, right? So you think about that, how many people do you see out in the world today that don't have the Lord on their side? You see worry in their eyes all the time, right? They never seem to be happy. They're not confident in what they do. They may be confident in their own self, but, they're not confident in, when they're challenged, though.
And there's not a bigger purpose.
Yeah.
Saul always asks someone to pray for him. pray God for him. You know, I mean, he wanted to be close to God, but Saul was so bipolar. Even he threw a chunk of spear at his own son.
To me, it's just amazing that he just happened to be there at the right time. Is that coincidental, you think?
Yeah.
Just happened to hear, you know, Goliath come out and say that. God prepared David for a long time. And David had been doing this work for a long time. He was there for a purpose, and God put him in the right place at the right time. And he does that for us as well. It might not be our battle, it might be someone else's battle. We might need to help there, right? It might be their insurmountable battle, but we can see around it, and we can help them there, right?
And the victory might not come quickly, too. Sometimes we have to watch people suffer, or we have to suffer through a lot to get to the point where we trust God. So I think that in this society, like, we're so used to like instant gratification and instantly, you know, getting a quick answer. But sometimes it doesn't come that quickly.
That's true. And God does things in his own timing. You know, he allows things to happen in his own time. He allows us to achieve victory in his own time because he wants us to learn from those things. He wants us to be better for those things. He wants us to be able to use those experiences to help others go through them as well, right?
And he wants us to let us know that he's the one that did the fighting for you, mm-hmm. not you, because he wants his glory.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
More than that.
Oh, that's right. It's not us at all, right?
That's right.
That's right. It wasn't David at all.
You know, think about this. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and inside of you, the Spirit of God dwells? Like, back to what you were saying, if somebody's not saved out there in the world and don't know the Lord. You know, a lot of times, it happened to me, people come and say, there's something about you. What is it about you so different? Then that's to give you a chance to talk to him about the Lord, right?
Exactly.
Because the Spirit of God is in us as Christians, you know? And you don't want us to be afraid.
Yep, exactly. So I think the whole Israel army saw that David was different for sure. Look at that sparkle in his eye, you know, he's not afraid at all.
They didn't see any fear. How can you be so young? I mean, you're small, and then everybody, there's no fear in you to go fight that night?
Yeah.
You know, God, like I said, God had prepared, was preparing him for that.
That's right. What is God preparing us for today? Right? The things that we're going through.
Well,
yeah.
What is he preparing us for?
There's going to be a big battle.
There's a lot going on in the world, for sure. And there's a lot of opportunities to fight those who defile the living God, right?
Remember, God doesn't have an army. He has armies. So it might be his angels is a big part of his army, one of the armies, but he's going to have us.
I think it's amazing that David ran out without a sword and picked up the Philistine sword and took off his head with it. You can imagine how big that sword was for David. If Saul's was too big for him, he couldn't use that. Just imagine how big Goliath was, huh?
Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I think, how horrifying it must have been, because here, Goliath was their battle-hardened warrior, and he's, 10 feet tall, and they had probably heard about, the God of Israel before, but they're like, no, it's okay, we got Goliath on our side and everything, and here, this little boy, probably in a little boy's voice, my God will deliver you to me, and deliver your flesh to the birds of the air, and then no armor or anything, and then strikes him with one shot, and then cuts off his head.
Yeah, look,
that would be terrifying. Right?
I don't see him, hacking at it. See him just taking us one swipe, doing it.
That was such an insult to Goliath. He said, "You come at me as a dog with a sling and a stone."
Yeah.
And that's what you are.
Yeah, that is just amazing. That definitely shows God. It just shows him so great.